All right. As you're finding your seats, I think an advantage, just so you know, I want to share something with you, just a couple things. You know, pre-COVID, according to the research groups, Christian research groups like Barna and Pew, if you're familiar with them, prior to that segment of history, believe it or not, the average size of a Protestant evangelical church was around 90 people. Well, now it's 60 to 65. Believe it or not, we're an average-sized church as far as people that attend on a regular basis. Now, in the grand scheme of things, we would say that that's smaller. So while I was up here, this just kind of came to me. You know, since we are average or smaller, I want to just kind of take advantage of that in this. There's some people who are newer here. I would like to just, if I call your name, just quickly raise your hand or stand up so people know who you are, because the advantage of a church this size is you can get to know people more intimately or at least get acquainted with them. So just really quickly, I would say if people that have been within the last 6 months, Pete and Joe, could you just stand up? And Larry next to them as well, Pete and Joe. They've been coming for about 6 months. And then I just drew a blank. Okay, Lord help me. I'll come back. Oh, Bridget, stand up. Thank you. Talk about age. Bridget, and then I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I'm trying this for benefit to you. And then CJ and Naomi in the back there, if you want to just raise your hand or stand up. Okay, these are people that have been attending here pretty consistently in the last 6 months. And I only say that because if we take those few minutes and you haven't had an opportunity to get to know them, please go up and say hello. They're great people. I try very hard to get to know people's names, but then get to know them a little bit. Okay, so I've gotten to talk a little bit with those people, and I can tell you that what I know is they're great. Let's pray. We'll get into the last message in the book of Galatians. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. It's a bit cold and a bit gray, but Lord, the sun is shining in here. The Holy Spirit is present with us. The love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to learn of you today. Please forgive me of my sin, of my shortcomings, my faults, Lord, for the sake of your people. We give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and God's family said, amen. Amen. Thank you. As we close, Paul's letter to the Galatians this morning, Galatians along with Romans encompasses and encapsulates the gospel of grace. The Apostle Paul will end this letter speaking of the cross of Christ and the grace of God. The cross is the most loved and revered object by the Christian and the most despised by the unregenerate, religious, and lost. The cross eliminates the work of man in God's plan of salvation. Therefore, that is the very reason it is rejected and hated by the unregenerate person. Consider the cross of Christ today. Consider the grace of God as we learn and grow together in God's Word. As we look into Galatians chapter 6, whether you have a paper Bible or you're using some type of app or device. Verse 11, we will start with. The Apostle Paul, ending his letter, says, "You see how large a letter," meaning his letter to the Galatians, "you see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand." Now, some believe, and it's very possible, that the Apostle had this eye condition called ophthalmia. That was a common disease in the East at the time. And you could get blindness almost to the point of total blindness if you had this condition. Now, he wrote, again, with my own hand. No scribe or writer in which he normally would have dictated the words to. Therefore, it was probably written, as Paul just said, with larger letters, if he indeed was the actual scribe of this. Or, possibility, as you research and study, perhaps he wrote with larger letters because he wanted to emphasize his closing points or his final remarks. Regardless, he mentions the fact that he has written with large letters or a large letter. He says in verse 12, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now I'll pause there because you will see in the last part of this letter, chapter 6, there's really three reasons why these Judaizers, these teachers that came in and tried to mix the Mosaic law with grace, did this. The first two were mentioned, to make a show, public relations, so they could seem good or better or religious or godly or righteous, whatever you want to say. And I think that serves well as a platform to speak of the day and the age that we live in. It's a different world, isn't it? It's a different world. And as we move forward in 2026, you cannot go backwards. We can't. Now, sometimes I wish I could, to be honest with you. I wish I could just go back to before phones and before tablets and before the buzzes and the bings. I had one of my child's phones with me in the bedroom last night. It was just buzzing nonstop. I thought, who's buzzing this kid at this time of night? But this is the world we live in now. And we have to be so careful that we don't use modern-day technology as a platform for our flesh. And as a platform, even those who are doing it in the name of Christ, my question I ask is this, and I too on occasion will do it, I pray with the right heart. Why? Because I'm the pastor of Spencerport Bible Church, the founder of Rescue and Revive Ministries, and there's people that are part of these ministries, like you. And they need to be informed of things, and we can use technology for good. But at the same time, the question I have to ask myself, and I have to ask other, will say, YouTube evangelists or social media evangelists, what are they doing when the camera's off? What are you doing when they're not recording? And that's the true test of a follower of Christ. Now, these Judaizers, their intent was not good. Their motive was not good. And the Apostle Paul knows this, and he's been telling the church at Galatia this as he comes to a close, that they're doing this for public relations, to make them look good in the flesh. That's one reason. What's the second reason? The second reason, he says, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. They didn't want to suffer persecution for the cross. Remember, the cross is the differentiating factor. That's what sets us apart from every other, we'll use the term good religion, or religion in general. However, the religion in the Bible is used in a positive context in the book of James, where it says, pure and undefiled religion before the God the Father is this, to help widows and orphans and remain unspotted by the world. But most of the time, we think of religion as a negative. So let's just use that all-encompassing word, religion. The cross is the difference. The cross is really the difference. And the Apostle Paul says this. He says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That's 1 Corinthians, when he was writing to the church in Corinth, chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Now, think about this. The Apostle Paul said, he didn't even call me to baptize. Now, baptism is important. And in fact, we have some people here right now that want to be baptized, and certainly we're going to. It was an ordinance for the church. Jesus Christ was baptized by John the Baptist. Remember, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. You should be water baptized. But that follows conversion. So if you've truly become a new creature in Christ, you've committed your life to Christ, you're following him, yes, you should be water baptized in some way, shape, or form. We're going to make that happen. But the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, baptism is not as important as salvation, because you could be water baptized and not know Christ, as was Simon the Sorcerer in the book of Acts, chapter 8. So water baptism is symbolic of new life. It's a ritual. It's symbolic of new life in Christ. You go down under the water, dead to sin. You come back up, resurrected, new creature. Sins washed away. Something to keep in mind, of course, we know that these Judaizers were telling the church of Galatia, well, okay, you have to be circumcised as well. Again, that's Judaism. And no longer is that the case. The Apostle Paul said, that he was circumcised, born of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the eighth day. That's when you would be circumcised as a male. And circumcision, the act or rite of passage in the Old Testament, according to Jewish custom and law, but not profitable. Not profitable any longer once the dispensation or the era of grace has come. Why? Circumcision of the heart. Paul is saying these Judaizers want you circumcised again for public relations to make them look good. And we know we have plenty of modern day circumcisions. And I don't want to belabor the point in this because I've talked about them before. But if you go to a church and they're making you do something that if you don't do it and it's not required for salvation, which, by the way, for salvation, what's required? Faith in the work of Christ. Jesus said, repent and believe the good news. But there's churches that either intentionally or unintentionally say you must do this, you must do that. And if you don't, they will actually shun you. They will turn you away from their church. You know what they've just done? They've perverted the gospel. They did exactly what the Apostle Paul talked about in chapter 1. They've twisted the gospel. They've added to it. They've taken away from it. They've twisted it. And it happens more than you think. Even in your own backyard, so to speak. You have to be careful. Because Satan is very subtle. The flesh is very sneaky. It's not about, again, hopefully, I'm dressed in a manner that's acceptable. Okay, sweater and shoes. But it's not about the way you dress. Common sense says dress respectably. But it's not a requirement for salvation. The music styles, all these modern day circumcisions which people have taken, and churches have taken, and they've made them gospel, and they're not. They've actually perverted the gospel with it. So keep that in mind as the Apostle Paul has been warning. In this day and age, it was you must be circumcised, you must keep the Mosaic Law. Not possible. We went over this all throughout the book. I intentionally went through Romans and Galatians intentionally for this local church body to be grounded in the gospel of grace, to understand this, and I believe you have been. Simply put, modern-day circumcisions, as was back then, are doctrines that have no impact on a person's salvation. Some, or most, are man-made. Other are biblical, but not required for salvation. Why? Because, as mentioned, the only requirement is that you believe on the finished work of Christ. And we already mentioned even baptism. I'll read this verse to you again. I read it. It was our communion verse. Good to read it again. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile, that means to bring back all things unto himself by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. What would bring persecution? The cross, the same object that brings persecution today to those that know Christ as Lord and Savior. The work of God completely destroys and eliminates the work of the flesh or the work of man. Any other way to God other than the cross is the wrong way. Jesus said this in John 14:6, you probably know it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh up to the Father but by me. Well, what is the way? The cross. That is the way. The cross. There is no other way. The truth. Every other way is wrong. The life only comes through death. As I've said many times prior, before a resurrection, there must be a crucifixion. And that goes the same for you and I. We must die to self to really know what it means to have new life in Christ. Our ambitions, our self-will, our desires, our dreams all must die and surrender to Christ. And can I tell you from personal experience and personal testimony, I have discovered God's plan is much better than mine. Not always much easier, much better. Why? More glory for God. More glory for God, more help for man, more reaching out to those that don't know Christ, more discipleship and caring and tending to those who do. Remember, I've said that selfishness has nothing to do with Christ or the work of God. Selflessness does. That's the example Christ left for us. Always keep that in mind. Why do people hate the cross so much? All false teachers, false doctrines, cults cannot keep the very rules they require others to do. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in verse 13. For neither they, that's the Judaizers themselves, who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised. Here's reason number 3 they want it, that they may glory in your flesh. There's three reasons they want this. Here's how he's summing up his letter. They can't keep the law themselves. Whatever the law is, one thing is sure, it'll be broken. Doesn't matter. Man-made speed limit, Mosaic law, it's going to be broken. Guaranteed. That's why you have gotten a speeding ticket. You will break laws. Often unintentionally, unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed. Ultimately, worshiping the law will lead to frustration, anger, coldness of heart. You're trying to do what God said is impossible. Keep the law, and simultaneously you're frustrating the grace of God and eliminating the work of the cross. See, when Jesus came on the scene, it totally wrecked the Pharisee party. It destroyed it because they were all about the law, even though, as the Apostle Paul just said with the Judaizers, they could not keep it themselves. Jesus said things like this to them. You love greetings in the marketplace to make long public prayers. You're whitewashed tombs. You're blind leading the blind. Those are not good things. You strain gnats, but you swallow a camel. You clean the outside of the cup, and inside it's full of excess. This is religious hypocrisy. This is not righteousness. This is self-righteousness. And those that try to mix law and grace, you will see these same type of character traits with, so to speak. You cannot do it. It will frustrate you. How can you know when somebody's struggling with adding to the gospel? How do you know when somebody's trying to do it in their own strength? You'll sense some pride, some Pharisee in them. You'll start to hear it. You'll start to see it. Listen, I'm going to tell you this in love. It's not to offend anybody. It's in love because it's what I'm called to do. If you think that your salvation is dependent on you, I'm going to tell you this in a very loving way. Here's the reason why. You have a very small view of God, and you have an inflated view of yourself. I'm going to say it again. If you think you can lose your salvation or leave your salvation, you have a small view of how big God is, and you have an inflated view of yourself. If you could lose your salvation, you would lose it. Why? You're not good. God is good. The Holy Spirit does not indwell. He does not seal you and then decide one day because of your works that you cannot reach, he's just going to leave you. That's nonsense. That's blasphemous. That's almost heretical. And people who believe that, start to become Pharisaical. Why? Because now salvation is dependent upon them. Question. How much can you mess up before God decides to leave you? How many times can you break the law before the Holy Spirit decides to say, you know what, I don't want to be with you. I'm done. I made a promise, but I'm going to leave. It's a covenant, but I'm going to break it. No, that goes against the Word of God. And that's exactly, this is the premise of this epistle, of this letter. This is the whole purpose Paul's writing this. Because they believed that back then, and they're wrong. It's the error of grace. You'll never be good enough. That's why Christ suffered on the cross. You will never be good enough. Just walk in love. Walk in the freedom. Enjoy Christ. Don't frustrate the grace of God. And you know what you'll want to do? You'll want to live for Him. You'll want to obey His commandments. The ones that were written by the finger of God and also the ones that were spoken in Spirit. Love one another as I have loved you. Don't have to be beat up by the Mosaic law anymore. That's all done away with. Christ was beat up for the Mosaic law so that you can enjoy freeness in Christ. Don't be in bondage to the law. It's been done away with. Christ fulfilled it. Did you know that Jesus came against, as I mentioned, hypocrisy veiled in religion in the name of God? Why? Hurts the church, hurts the lost, hurts people, period. I mean, every cult, false religion, heresy, they do this. It gives them control. It gives them power. And that's what false teachers and prophets want. That's what Charles Taze Russell, the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses, wants. It's what he wanted. And some people are giving it to him. Joseph Smith, the false prophet of Mormonism. Islam, the very meaning of Islam is submission. You'll never know if you inherit eternal life in Islam. Why? Because it's an impersonal, false god that's based upon the works of man, not the cross. They will deny the cross. They will pervert the cross. They'll take Christ away and say that his body was stolen. That's what the Jews did. Don't be bewitched. Don't be seduced by these false gospels and these false doctrines. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed unto another. You're bewitched. You're under a spell. And you know, there's a lot of false gospels. I'm going to maybe some more toes. I pray it's not. I'll mention a couple newer ones. The gospel of the Christian nationalist. Anybody familiar? Listen, I am not a Christian nationalist. God forbid that you are. I am a Christian. My allegiance is to Jesus Christ alone, who paid the price on the cross, not to a politician, not to a president. It's to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God forbid you become a Christian nationalist. I love my country. I am so grateful. So grateful. God, in his sovereignty, in his mercy, decided for me to be born here. I had no say in the matter. I love America. It bothers me. Bothers me when people are disrespectful during the Pledge of Allegiance. I don't like it. Why? Because I'm thankful that God's put me here. I think we should honor that flag right now. But God forbid that I mix my allegiance with Christ for the allegiance of my nation. I serve God first. You have no other gods before me. See, it's very sneaky. It's very murky. Just like the social gospel. You have all these outreaches. You're doing all this work. But there's something missing in it. Here's what's missing in it. Christ. There's no filler. It's done with wrong motives. In fact, you never hear about the cross. You never hear about the blood. You never hear about reconciliation. You hear about how good you are and how many people you're helping. At the same time, eternally, their soul is damned to hell. That's the social gospel. It's a false gospel. The prosperity gospel. Well, if you follow Jesus, here's your golden ticket. Remember Willy Wonka? Your golden ticket. Healthy, wealthy, and wise. And if you're not, you must be in sin. No, that person who's teaching that is in sin. That is heresy. How about the self-help gospel? Just, you can do it. You're good. Just keep trying. Well, you're going to get a lot of frustration and a lot of failure. Fall upon the rock and be broken. Or the rock will fall upon you and grind you to powder. Those that follow Christ know that his strength, is made perfect in our weakness. We know that in our flesh, as the Apostle Paul says, in our flesh dwells nothing good. No good thing. Verse 14, but God forbid, that I should glory except, save, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I will boast in what God has done, not what I can do. It's grace or it's works, it's done or do. Paul got it. You see, Paul is not just some apostle that was accidentally chosen by God. God intentionally picked this man. He picked this man. Why? Because this man walked in all this human strength. He walked in the strength of the law. So God chose him on the road to Damascus to give him this revelation of the grace of God. And he realized, I was all wrong. It's all God. God has chosen me. He has saved me to be his witness, to suffer for the glory of God. He's done it. That's why he says, I'm the least of the apostles. He says, I don't even deserve to be an apostle. That's a man who understands grace. Do you think, honestly, let me ask you a question. Do you honestly think I deserve to have this platform? I promise you I don't. I promise you I do not deserve this platform in my flesh. You say, well, how do we know? Come to my house on certain times and certain days. I don't deserve this platform. This is the grace of God. you being here today. It's the grace of God. What God has called you to do, it's the grace of God. It's all the grace of God. And you do it for the glory of God. You don't do it to boast in the flesh. No other reason. The apostle understood this. The work of the cross is worthy. The suffering, the demonstration of love, the required sacrifice according to the law for our sin. Now the world is dead, he says to me. Now I am a new creature. Glory to glory, you are transformed. It says in verse 15, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. He says, hey, this is no longer about that eighth day where the foreskin of the male genital gets it. No, that's nothing. That's flesh. Now you need to be circumcision of your heart. Understand the work of the cross, what he did, what Christ did for us. Verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule. You love rules so much? The Apostle Paul says, you love rules so much? Okay, walk according to this rule. Peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. The rule of the cross. The rule of a new creature. A new creation. Peace and mercy upon the true Israel. Those who are governed by God. That's what Israel means, whether Jew or Gentile. In Revelation, Jesus says, those that say they are Jews but are not. He said that to the persecuted church in Smyrna and the faithful church in Philadelphia. Those that, yeah, they say that they're walking according to grace. They say that they know Jesus, but their lives are contrary. Their lives are contrary. In word and deed, they live contrary to this gospel of grace. They're not new creatures. They're Pharisees. They're hypocritical. They're self-righteous. They're not righteous. Their robes are not made white by the blood of the Lamb because they're trying to do it in their own strength, and they're trying to influence you. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. That's my encouragement to you today. The Apostle Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, that's you, shall live by faith. You live by faith, not by works. We're a people zealous of good works. We do good works. Why? Because we are new creations in Christ. We do them with the proper motive. What is it? The glory of God and the love of our fellow man, our neighbor. That's who the household of faith is that Paul was referring to before. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up as I read these last two verses. The apostle says, from henceforth, from this time, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, back in those days, there was slaves, bond servants. You know what they did? They would brand them. Paul says, I've been branded. The marks are on my body. I've been whipped. I've been stoned. Do you see me? This eye disease, this is my branding. The suffering that Christ told me I would endure for the sake of the cross, for the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ that is still in Revelation 14, is still proclaimed throughout the heavenlies by an angel. Fear God and give Him glory. That's the everlasting gospel in Revelation. This gospel doesn't end. It says, I bear my body. Look at my back. Look at the scars. I've been branded by Christ. And we have to ask ourselves, what are our marks? Now, we may not have the physical, but what are the marks that you and I bear for Christ? Do we have the mark of love? Do we have the mark of peace? Do we have the marker of sanctification? Do we have the marker of repentance? You know what brings God joy? Is when a man or a woman of God confesses their sin, when they admit they were wrong, even once they're saved, and they repent. They say, Lord, I was wrong, please forgive me. And God, of course, forgives to the uttermost because you've confessed your sin. You're saved, then you're to be sealed. When we get to Ephesians 1:13, because that's the book we start next, you'll see a beautiful verse in there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. The last verse, I love this, is so beautiful. So beautiful. The grace, Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. All who know the work of God will be transformed by it. All. It's impossible not to be. All who know the work of God will grow in the grace of God. Fuller, deeper understanding what God has done for you and I undeservedly. My prayer is you receive His grace if you haven't today in Jesus' name. I'll end with an observation. Just in my reading time, now I'm not boasting about this because some of you have read the Bible way more times. I just finished the Bible. It took maybe two and a half years. I don't go speed read. I don't try to do the speed read thing. But I just finished, I think it was yesterday, just finished Revelation. And so as I'm going back, I'm saying, you know what, let me look at these letters because this is the Apostle Paul. This is to prove to you. This is the Lord. This is the Holy Spirit. Did you know? Let's talk about the big three. Okay, let's say the Apostle Paul, he ends with grace. In most of his letters, he says the same thing. He ends with grace. Second Peter, you know, big burly Peter, the guy chopping off ears, he ends his second letter, he says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And how about this? The book, the full counsel of God, inspired by God the Holy Spirit. Who is it written by? The human author, John. Where? On an island of Patmos? How does he end? Look it up. The last verse in the Bible. Paul, Peter, John ends with grace. Grace, that's what it's about. God's riches at Christ's expense. Enjoy the grace of God. Live empowered by the grace of God, constrained by the love of God, not by yourself. That's ugly, that's filthy. In your flesh dwells no good things. You are saved. You are sealed, you are sanctified, you are seated in heavenly places. That should be bringing you peace that passes understanding, that the work has been done. And now we walk in that. We walk in that in newness of life. This is the rule to follow. Follow that rule, that you walk in newness of life as a new creature in Christ. Don't let anybody condemn you. Don't let anybody tell you something different. Don't let somebody try to sell you a bill of goods with a different gospel. Please don't be a Christian nationalist. Please don't be somebody who's put their faith and their hopes in human works. Please, don't. Last thing. If you had a passport, which maybe you do, but if you had a passport given by the heavenlies right now, when you open it up, according to the grace of God, it would say, Karen Maller, citizen of the kingdom of heaven, by the grace of God. Amen? I pray that's the case for you and I today. Enjoy the grace of God. It's 2026. I can't believe we made it. Can't believe I made it. But I'm here. Why? By the grace of God. And so are you. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together. It's by your grace. It's by your grace that we're here. I really believe that. According to your word, we love you so much. And let us be a people zealous of good works. You've ordained us for that. But good works that are rooted and grounded in the love of God, and people know there's something different, and that difference is the Spirit of God residing in us, giving glory to the Father till you call us home. We love you. We thank you. We'll ask these things. We'll ask these things in the name of the one who's worthy, Jesus Christ. And all of God's beautiful people said amen. Amen.